Pray with me as we turn our attention to God's Word this morning. Father, we come before You and we transition into our time of studying Your Word. Your Word is living and active. And that's our prayer this morning, that it would be living and active in our hearts and our minds today. As we look at John 3 together this morning, speak to us. Enable us to receive, enable us to hear what it is that You have for us today. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to turn our attention to John 3. There's Bibles back there, or there's Wi-Fi up there, so you can either get a Bible or turn on your phone and go to John 3. This is the reading and seeking God's face. I was holding this book. If you're new to Monroe, or if you haven't been here in a while, we are using Seeking God's Face. This is a book of daily scripture readings and prayers. And we've committed as a community of faith to do this together each and every day. There's copies of it back there. We invite you to join us on this journey. We're working our way through, reading together, praying together. Seeking God's Face follows the Christian calendar. And the season that we're in right now is the season of Lent. It's a season of self-examination, of looking at our insides, of looking at our hearts and our souls in preparation for Easter, which is the culmination or the end of Lent. Right? So it's a season of repentance, of self-examination. So the text that we're looking at today is for the reading for this coming Saturday. But turn with me to John 3, and I'm actually going to begin reading at John 2. John 2, verse 23, the first few verses ahead of that. Here John writes, "Now while he was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast," and then he is Jesus, "many people saw the miraculous signs he was doing and believed in his name. But Jesus would not entrust himself to them, for he knew all men. He did not need a man's testimony about man, for he knew what was in a man. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council called the Sanhedrin. He came to Jesus at night and said, 'Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him.' In reply, Jesus declared, 'I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again.' 'How can a man be born when he is old?' Nicodemus asked. 'Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born.' Jesus answered, 'I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of the water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit.' Jesus says, 'I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again.' Jesus says, 'I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of the water and the Spirit.'" So people of God, one of the things that Pastor and Amy and I like to do on Fridays, which is our day off, is to eat donuts. Okay? We like to find a good donut shop and enjoy a good donut. And so if you know of any bakeries besides Vans or Sandy's or Robinette's or Marge's or Arnie's here in town, we would like to know. Okay? We would like to know. Please share the wealth. Okay? When making my donut selection, which is often very hard because you stand before the display case that's full and you're looking and you're like, wow, right? Usually I get two, sometimes I get three. Because choosing is hard, and look at this, right? You got a lot of places you could hide a donut or two here, right? So you're standing before that display case, and boy, do they look good. So deciding is very hard. But one of the things that I've learned that helps me when trying to make my choice is to ask a question. And the important question that I've learned to ask is, what's inside of that one? Right? What is inside of that one? When it comes to donuts, I've learned that what you can't see about a donut is just as important about what you can see. Right? What you can't see about a donut is just as important about what you can see. And boy, the outside looks really good. And boy, they decorate them and they make them so appealing and so attractive. One time I selected one of the most attractive looking donuts in that display case. And I was so excited, and I bit into it, only to find out that it was filled with lemon. Like lemon instead of raspberry. I bit into that thing, and I was like, whoa, lemon. What a sour and disappointing surprise that was. I couldn't see what was inside, so I bit in it, and phew. That was tart. When it comes to donuts, what's on the inside is sometimes more important than what's on the outside. During this season of Lent, we're taking a look at our insides together, aren't we? We're taking a look at the insides of our hearts and our lives. Each day, using Seeking God's Face as a guide, we're taking a look at our hearts and our souls, and we're asking ourselves, what is in a man? What is in a woman? What is in a person? What's inside of us? What's inside of us that needs to be swept away? What needs to be thrown away? What needs to be scrubbed away inside? John records for us in our text for today that Jesus knew what was inside of us. He knew what was inside of men and of women. He didn't need a man's testimony about a man, for he knew, right? He knew what was inside. Last week during our study of 1 John 1, Pastor Amy talked about and reminded us about our need to be honest about what we see inside. We need to be honest about what's inside of us. And in 1 John, it says, if we're honest, what's the answer? If we're honest and if we don't deceive ourselves, the answer is that there's sin and that there's unrighteousness inside there. There's a little lemon filling, right? There's a little tart, a little sour. John Calvin, in his notes on these verses in our text this morning, reminds us that the beginning of Christianity consists in this, that we know ourselves not only to be corrupt in just a little part, but to be totally affected by sin. Affected so much so that our nature needs to be created anew. If you and I, if we're honest, we all have a little bit of lemon filling inside. And one of the things we realize during the season of Lent is that we experience the bitter and the harsh and the sour effects of this. Whether it's our own sin or the sin of those around us. When we're honest, right, we all need to be changed on the inside. So the question we're going to look at this morning is how? How does that change happen? How is our insides changed? How is this addressed? How does one go about changing one filling for another? How does one go about changing from the bitter lemon to the sweet raspberry? Jesus says to Nicodemus and to us today that there's only one way that you can be changed on the inside. Jesus says, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. Or unless they are born anew. Or born from above. The Greek word that Jesus uses here is anothen, which means from above, or from the beginning, or again. Different translations with different theological bents translate it differently. The NIV uses born again. The NRSV uses the word born from above. The word is used of things which come from heaven, from God, from the dwelling place of where God is. Jesus says that people who want to see, people who want to enter into the kingdom need to be born again. They need to be born anew. Why does Jesus say this to Nicodemus, who comes to him under the cover of darkness at night? Why is this the first thing that Jesus says? Who was Nicodemus? Nicodemus, we read, was a Pharisee. And the Pharisees in Jesus' day were known for their scrupulous observance of man-made laws. They were known for their outward conformity to the law. So much so that they were known, right? That this was the goal of their existence. It was to try and obey all the rules. They as a group stressed salvation by works. Nicodemus was also on the Jewish ruling council, John tells us. He was part of the Sanhedrin. This ruling council was kind of an upper court, a decision-making body that dealt with religious matters. They would take care of regulating the religious and the political life of the people. And they set the parameters for what was okay. And they passed these parameters and these guidelines down, right? Biblical guidelines and rabbinical traditions down, 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 down. So Nicodemus was at the top. He was a smart man. He was a learned man. He was an educated man. He was a powerful man. His office was probably downtown, right? And it wasn't in the basement. It was probably on the 8th floor or above. He was a mover and a shaker in that community. We know that he was smart and that he was powerful, that he worked hard in his professional and his spiritual life to make it to the top. And for this reason, what does Jesus say? Jesus says to them, for this reason, he says, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born anew, unless they are born again. For you see, when it comes to changing our insides, when it comes to our hearts and our souls, there are two ways of addressing that problem, two ways of trying to change it. The first is trying to remake ourselves, trying to do things differently. Works righteousness. The Pharisaical approach. The Nicodemus approach. The other is being remade. Being born from above. Being born anew. Being remade and put together by God. Remaking yourself or being remade by God. What does it mean to be born from above? Alice McKinsey says, a person can be reborn spiritually, or as Jesus puts it, born from above. John's gospel frequently distinguishes between below and above. The above is the realm of God working through Jesus to bring light and to invite belief and to invite eternal life into the present. The below is the realm of the world with its darkness and its resistance to Jesus. Being born from above, new birth, is breaking free from unbelief to belief. John Wesley describes new birth in this way. He says, it's the great change which God works in the soul when He brings it unto life, when He raises it from the death of sin to the life of righteousness. It's the change wrought in the whole soul by the Almighty Spirit of God when it is created anew in Jesus Christ, when it is renewed after the image of God in righteousness and in true holiness. It's when the love of the world and the things of the world is changed into the love of God. It's when pride is changed into humility, when passion into meekness, when hatred, envy, and malice into sincere and tender and love for all people. In a word, he says, it's that change whereby the earthly, the sensual, and the devilish mind is turned into the mind which was in Christ Jesus. This, he says, is the nature of new birth. So it is, he says, everyone that is born anew, everyone that is born of the Spirit, everyone that is born of the water. Jesus says, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of the water and the Spirit. What does he mean there? What does he mean, water and Spirit? Gary Burge, in his commentary on these verses, reminds us that the Old Testament prophets talked about a time of renewal that was coming, when the transforming power of God's Spirit would be poured out on all people. He reminds us that the prophets talked about this time of renewal in terms of water and Spirit. Listen to Isaiah 43 with me. Isaiah 43, verse 3. For I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my Spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. Listen to Ezekiel 36. Here God says, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my Spirit in you, and I will move you to follow my decree and be careful to keep my laws. Water and Spirit are joined and used here in these contexts to describe the life-giving gifts of God. And Nicodemus, a teacher and a scholar of the Old Testament Scriptures, Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council, Nicodemus, a teacher of the people of Israel, Nicodemus, of all people, should have known about this life-giving pair that was to come. And Nicodemus should have known that this life-giving pair, where did it come from? It comes from above. Right? These are things that come from God. Jesus draws attention to this fact when he says to Nicodemus, he says, you of all people should not be surprised. Am I saying you must be born again? You should not be surprised by this. Jesus came to usher in this time of renewal, right, and to bring these life-giving gifts to you and to me. In our text for this morning, Jesus reminds us that righteousness is something that you and I, we need to receive from above. On account of the sin that is inside, righteousness is not something that we can earn ourselves. You and I, we can't make ourselves clean. Only God can make us clean. Therefore, Jesus says we need to be born again. We need to be born anew. We need to be born from above. We need to be born of the water and the Spirit. We need to receive this gift from God. During this season of Lent, as you and I, as we look inside, Jesus reminds Nicodemus. Jesus reminds you and me that there's only one way that we're able to be made clean. There's only one way for us to remove and change from the bitter lemon to the sweet raspberry. And how is that? The only way, Jesus says, is it's from above. It's from rebirth. It's from renewal. Jesus says no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born from above. Have you been born from above today? Pray with me. God of truth, during this season of Lent, as we take time to look inside, we don't often like to face the sin that is in us. It's ugly. And oftentimes it's frightening. But if we avoid it, it only gets us tangled deeper into deception. So this morning, God, give us the courage to take an honest look at ourselves. And as we do, may that honesty make us long more and more for your salvation. As we take an honest look at ourselves, may that honesty make us long more and more for your salvation, for your water and your Spirit, for your birth from above. From your birth from above that sets us free, that washes us clean, that sweeps that sin away. May we long more and more for that. God of new birth, may the mysterious wind of your Spirit blow through this place today. God of new birth, may your mysterious wind of your Spirit blow in our hearts today. Awaken us. Awaken us this morning. Renew us. Renew us this morning. Wash us. Wash us this morning. May new life, born again life, born again in the womb of the Spirit, may this new life grow in us. May it grow in us and take root. May it take root as we live our lives in the presence and in the power of your kingdom. It's in Jesus Christ's name that we pray these things. And everyone said,